Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it's your girl Cy Brown. Thank you so much for listening to another edition of LifeRemixRadio.com. Today we are talking about a very, very, very serious subject. We are talking about bullying. And this is a special topic to me, not only because I'm a mom and, you know, all of the news stories that have been going on, you know, about bullying, but just about bullying in general. And after reading the stories about Carl Joseph Walker Hoover, who's from Massachusetts, who killed himself, a little 11-year-old, about bullying, and then this past week with the little young man in Georgia, I just felt, you know, something needs to get done. I need to do a show about this to just bring awareness to the whole concept about bullying. And the saddest part about it is that it's boys. It's mostly boys. And I don't know if it's because we live in, you know, a society where guys have to be macho or whatever it is. But you know something? It sucks. It all sucks. There's no need for it. And even more so than that, when I started thinking about the whole concept of bullying, some really painful stuff came to me as well. And then I said, you know what? I was bullied. I didn't even realize it. I didn't even realize how bullying had made an impact in my life. And, you know, when I thought about it, I said, wait a minute. Maybe that's why I've lived with such low self-esteem and such a feeling of inferiority for most of my adult life. And although it may sound like, yeah, right, Cy, you know, you're on the radio, you know, you've got all these books and you lecture, I have felt crummy about myself for years. And I've shared it many times on the air, as well as many times with other people, how I wanted to check out, basically. I didn't want to be here anymore. I just felt that I wasn't worthy. I just felt that I didn't want to live anymore. And so frequently when I tweet or frequently when I put things on Facebook that deal with issues such as bullying or self-esteem, I always preface it by saying suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. But somebody who has actually wanted to call it quits more times than not, I don't even know how I got through it. And going back to the root of the problem, I never actually looked back at why I felt so crummy. I just never did. And reading these stories, these ongoing, it's almost, to me, it's incessant. Like, when is this going to stop? I'm tired of reading about these little boys killing themselves. I mean, I didn't have suicidal thoughts until I was in my teen years. I think the first time I felt like I really wanted to check out was when I was around 16 years old. I do remember at the time I was anorexic. I was very thin, 125 pounds, and about 5 feet, 8 inches tall. And I remember shopping at Lane Bryant in my later years of high school just because I thought I was too fat. Now, can you just imagine how bizarre that is? I'm 5'8", 5'9", and I'm shopping, and I'm 5'6", probably like a 5'6", 125 pounds, and I'm shopping in Lane Bryant. It just goes to show, like, where my mind was, how miserable I was. But I wondered, I had to wonder, and I had to look back, does any of this have to do with bullying? Or the impression I had of me based on the words that I was hearing every day, every day, every day, every day, every day, every day. I mean, you have to imagine, I come from a small town in New Jersey, and in my town, there's a few elementary schools, you know, like little district schools based in neighborhoods. But there's one junior high school and there's one high school. So no matter what, even if for some reason you attended a different elementary school than someone else, you are going to connect with them once you hit seventh grade. So 7th and 8th grade, everybody was dumped into one building, just as in high school. So if you had a beef with somebody downtown and you lived, like we lived in what was considered uptown, and they're downtown, and there's this decades-long beef with people from uptown versus downtown. I mean, that message is across cities across America. But no matter what, you were going to connect with your nemesis by the time you hit the 7th grade. So no matter what your parents did to thwart any words or hatred, acts of hate towards you, you were going to connect with these people by the time you hit junior high school and middle school, no matter what. So I think it's a little simplistic for parents to tell little children, oh, don't worry, they're just jealous, or oh, don't worry, they're just, you know, they're not your friend. There's way more to it than that. I mean, way more to it than that. But unfortunately, we don't see it that way. Unfortunately, we look at it from a perspective of, you know what, we just want our children to be happy. We just want our children to not be bullied. But what can you really offer? What can you absolutely offer to these young people that really can convince them that, you know what, I'm worthy. I have a higher purpose in life. And I always was a tough gal. I always felt I can do it. My parents did empower me. You know, my parents really empowered me that I could do better, that I could be better. But you know something? When you go outside or when you walk to the store or when you see these people day in, day out, that stuff starts to sink into your spirit, and you really start to question who you are and how you feel. Before we really get into today's show, I do want to give a really quick shout-out to Kenyatt, who just joined me in the chat room. What's going on, buddy? I didn't know that was you in the chat room. Our chat room is open. I am taking calls. And actually, Kenyatt grew up in the same town that I grew up in, that I was reluctant to share on the air, because I still have family that lives there. But I guess since you're here, I actually want to bring you in. If you're free to call Kenyatt at some point, I welcome the opportunity to have you call into the show. Our number is 347-633-9113. Again, 347-633-9113, if you so choose. Let me get into a little bit more of today's show, just to offer tips and solutions to parents and kids who are being bullied, how you can really start to get through this and work through this. So, Kenya, I'm so happy that you actually have tuned in, because you can definitely understand and sympathize where I'm coming from the same town. You know what it's like. You know what it's like. You absolutely know what it's like. If no matter what, we were all meeting at number 4 school by the 7th grade. But let me get into just today's talk a little bit more about the two young men who I actually blogged about them. I'm putting the information in the chat room now if you want to check out my blog. Just log on to www.sibrowne.com, SAIBROWNE.com, and you can click on the link that says bullying in the upper right-hand corner, and it'll take you to some of the posts that I've made about bullying. But my heart really goes out. The first young man that I'm going to talk about today, his name is Carl Joseph Walker Hoover, and on April 6th, this little adoring 11-year-old hung himself after enduring bullying at school, daily taunts of being gay. His mother made pleas to the school to address the problem, and as of April 6th, 2008, this was at least the fourth suicide of a middle school age child linked to bullying this year, and that is according to the Associated Press. This is not stuff I'm making up. This is stuff that I'm getting from extremely reliable sources. But now look at it. Can you imagine just all the stuff that kids go through? Can you just imagine being 11 years old and you just want to check out and you don't want to live anymore? I mean, this is really above comprehension. It just blows my mind to the point where I can't figure out what would drive a kid to do that. What would drive a child to the point of, I am done, I don't want to be here anymore, and that's a wrap, folks. Well, anyway, let me read to you a little bit about the story of this adorable boy. And I actually have a picture of him on my blog, which can be found at sideround.com. In his little football uniform, I mean, just the cutest thing. And you know what, just really quickly, this whole bullying issue transcends race. This is not a black issue. This is not a white issue. This is just a little people issue, just a little kids issue. So let me read some information to you from GLSEN.com. And it's a site that is just, it's the Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network. And GLSEN is the leading national education organization focused on ensuring schools are safe for all students. It was established in 1995, and their mission is just to have a world where every child learns to respect and accept all people. The most heartbreaking commonality between these two little boys, the one who just died who killed himself in Georgia, and Carl, is that they were called gay. And so I think that's why organizations and blogs such as GLSEN, GLSEN, it's really getting involved, because what's happening is that whole gay moniker is really what's pushing these little boys over the edge. You can call them fat. You know, it used to be, oh, your mama. You know, you talk about somebody's mama. But it's beyond that. It seems like just calling somebody gay is the ultimate diss. And I guess just to be told gay, you're called gay, 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 at a point of no return, to the point of no return, when young people are struggling with their sexual identity, there are so many people struggling with their sexual, young people struggling with their own sexual identity, trying to figure out who they are based on parameters established by their parents, by clergy, by their religious beliefs, by all of these other things, fighting what they feel inside. And then to be called gay, which has a very negative connotation in many cultures across the world, I guess that is just really what pushed them to the edge. The little boy, Carl, I'm going to read to you just a piece from GLSEN's blog, their website, I'm sorry. They're calling on schools and a nation to embrace solutions to the bullying problem. An 11-year-old Massachusetts boy, Carl Joseph Walker Hoover, hanged himself Monday. This is dated April 9, 2009, so they found him hanging on Monday, April 6, 2009, after enduring bullying at school, including daily taunts of being gay, despite his mother's weekly pleas to the school to address the problem. This is at least the fourth suicide of a middle-aged student linked to bullying this year. Carl, a junior at New Leadership Charter School in Springfield, who did not identify as gay, would have turned 12 on April 17th. The same day, hundreds of thousands of students will participate in the 13th annual National Day of Silence by taking some form of a vow of silence to bring attention to anti-lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender bullying and harassment at schools. The other three known cases of suicide among middle students took place in Chatham, Evanston, and Chicago, Illinois, in the month of February. And this is a quote: "Our hearts go out to Carl's mother and other members of Carl's family, as well as the community suffering from this loss," GLSEN Executive Director Eliza Byard. "As we mourn yet another tragedy involving bullying at school, we must heed to Ms. Walker's urgent call for real, systematic, effective responses to the epidemic problem of bullying and harassment, especially in this time of societal crisis. Adults in school must be alert to the heightened pressure children face and take action to create safe learning environments for the students in their care. In order to do that effectively, as this case so tragically illustrates, students must deal head-on with anti-gay language and behavior." I'm going to address that in a minute. I'm almost through, people. "Two of the top three reasons students said their peers were most often bullied at school were actual or perceived sexual orientation and gender expression, according to From Teasing to Torment, School Climate in America, a 2005 report by GLSEN. The top reason was physical appearance. Now, you all know, and this is just my little sidebar comment, a lot of times we can't do anything. We cannot do anything about our appearance. It's just how we were born. I do see I have a caller on the line. Caller, I'll be right with you. Just give me a moment. I want to acknowledge you. Just give me one moment, please. As with the case with Carl, you do not have to identify as gay to be attacked with the anti-lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender language. From their earliest years on the school playground, students learn to use anti-LGBT language as the ultimate weapon to degrade their peers. I was just saying this. In many cases, schools and teachers either ignore the behavior or don't know how to intervene. That's the sad part about this, everybody. In most cases, the harassment is unreported. Nearly two-thirds of LGBT students who experience harassment or assault never reported the incident to school. The most common reason is that they didn't believe anything would be done to address the situation. Of those who did report the incident, nearly a third said the school staff did nothing in response. While LGBT youth face extreme victimization, bullying in general is also a widespread problem. More than a third of middle and high school students said that bullying, name-calling, or harassment is somewhat or a very serious problem at their school. Bullying is even more severe in middle school. This is what I was just saying, the point where you're really starting to get boobies and girls are starting to develop and guys are getting freckled, you know, pimples, and they don't know what they're doing. And this is a very precarious age. Two-thirds of middle school students, 65%, being assaulted or harassed in previous year, and only 41% said they felt very safe at school. The other 65% reported being assaulted. Is this bizarre or what? Anyway, Carl's suicide comes about a year after 8th grade Lawrence King was shot and killed by a fellow student in a California classroom, allegedly because he was gay. I just cannot believe it. There's simple approaches that you can take and simple actions, and I'll put all that stuff on my blog, but really quickly, just adopt, schools need to adopt a comprehensive anti-bullying policy. To let young people know we will not tolerate this behavior. Also, require staff training to enable school staff to identify and address anti-LGBT name-calling, bullying, and harassment. I have to comment on this. School staff should be trained to identify anti-LGBT name-calling. School staff should be trained against bullying in general. Being called gay is just one aspect of bullying, and I'll get into how I was bullied as a child, and it had nothing to do with being gay. Kids are mean, and kids are horrible at times. Students support efforts to address anti-LGBT bullying and also institute age-appropriate inclusive curriculum. One thing, Cole, I'm getting ready to pick you up in a second, but one thing you have to learn is that they're speaking from their own agenda. GLSEN is speaking from their own anti-LGBT agenda, so that's what they're going to push. They offer very good research, will offer very good data based on research, but they have their own agenda. Bullying is its own problem because I know my own personal bullying had absolutely nothing to do with my sexual orientation. Let me just jump the line and pick up my caller. Caller, are you with us?
Hello?
Yes. Hi, caller. Did you have a question?
Hi, sorry. It's Kenya.
Oh, okay. What's going on? I just saw unmarked. What's going on, baby?
Hello. Just calling in. So support. Well, basically to talk about, like you were saying, the junior high and the high school thing and Passaic thing, that's where, when I got there, I mainly learned about, like I said, verbally abusing people. It was like part of that was part of the atmosphere. You know what I'm saying? So
it was, you know what, for me, I'll share with you, my time in that particular city was absolutely horrible. For a few reasons. Number one, my parents both were raised in the city that, you know, we are referring to. And so, first of all, everybody knew my parents and this and that. And my parents separated. I always joke and say I think my parents were together just long enough to get me here. I've never, ever, at my birthday is Wednesday, I'll be 30-something, I've never seen my parents in the same room, ever, not never, not ever, ever. But you know what, for me, that's cool. I was an only child, lived a really great life. But living with my dad and his parents in this small town in Passaic was horrible. I was teased because my parents taught me to speak well. I was teased because my parents weren't divorced and mostly all the other kids' parents were still together. I was teased because I had quote-unquote good hair. I was teased because, I mean, you name it, and I was teased. And it was absolutely horrible. And it wasn't until by the time I was in fourth grade, when I was 9 years old, I said, enough is enough. And I told my father and my grandparents and my stepmother, I need to go live with my mother. I can't take it anymore. And that's when I went to live with my mother, and my whole life changed. I moved from the small town in Passaic to New York City. Now, you know, New York City, it's just a totally different environment. My parents put me in a phenomenal school in Greenwich Village. They lived in Greenwich Village. They both worked in arts and entertainment. And you know, just working in arts and entertainment, nobody's judged. You know, my friends had parents with blue hair. You know, it just working in arts and entertainment, they accepted everybody. So it wasn't until I was 9 years old that I finally felt some semblance of acceptance. So can you just imagine, you know, all those years living and not feeling accepted? I think
I
it's terrible.
I can understand that. I came from number one. So number one was majority white. Then you get to number four.
Yep.
And then, like you said, you have the mixture. So for me, you come into a culture shock. Then I start meeting people that look like me and things of that nature, but they was from another side of town.
Right.
But now, in hindsight, what you're saying, the experience you went through, even though Passaic was culturally diverse, they never really taught that. It was a lot of separation in the groups of people at that time.
Right.
So, and another thing, like on my street, there was a few guys that I would say was gay back then. We
wow.
kind of like, as young men, we sensed it, you know, and I think that way right now. But if I was to see them, I would introduce you to them as my brothers and stuff like that. I grew up with them. That's who they are. That's what they are, you know. But on my block, that was a bad word to be getting into the gay moniker and all that stuff
exactly.
like that.
Exactly.
So, you know, now, you know, to say it, you say it freely, you know, and every other sentence, like, oh, you're such and such.
Yeah, know? Exactly.
You know, and that's the problem. But like I said in number four, if you couldn't hold your own when somebody came back at you, then that was the problem. Then you was
exactly.
gonna get pounded on and stuff. And then even walking through town, like, it was a friend of mine that was a little weak. We're like, yo, leave him alone. He's with us.
Exactly.
But, you know, some people just don't have that support network. So, and then, you know, they go into that situation. Like you said, the kids might be mean and stuff, but a lot of it is fun. And then it gets to a different level.
Let me put you on hold 1 second, Kenya.
Okay,
I have another caller. Don't go anywhere. Caller from 203, you're on the line with Cy Brown. Today we're talking about helping your child fight the good fight against bullies. Thank you for calling. How may I help you?
Hi, it's Deja Monet. How are you today?
Hey, darling. How are you?
I'm fine. I just have a quick question.
Yeah.
Remember, well, when I was younger, they used to have, I remember back, like, when I was a teenager, they used to have these, like, hotlines and safe houses and stuff for children to, like, call if they're in trouble or
mm-hmm.
if they couldn't talk to their parents. Do they still exist? Because I think if somebody puts one back in place, it wouldn't be as much of the children, like, killing themselves or whatever. Because I remember when I was a teenager, they did have these hotlines where you can call, and sometimes you talk to other peers about the bullying and the other stuff, too, because sometimes I know, like, back in the old days, like, with my parents, because I'm the oldest, so
mm-hmm.
if they bully my sisters, I have to be the one that they come to, and I have to stand up for them. But my parents would be like, stand up, fight, you can't run away.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, it's not like that, but do they have a number in place for the children? Do they still, those things still exist?
I looked so much online, just prepping for today's show, and I didn't find one that I could readily give on the air, but I will do a follow-up. I couldn't find one. And actually, that's the first step to helping your child, you know, fight the good fight of a bully, is to empower them and let them know they have the right to protect themselves totally and completely, that there's no, there should be a no-fight rule. And or being on the other end. Let me tell you one thing very quickly. I was an only child, and I think that added to it as well. We weren't loaded, but we were pretty high, you know.
Okay.
And and I think because of that, my parents did put me in classes and trainings and stuff like that. So they made me culturally aware and astute, but when it came to handling hood issues or urban issues, or I was so not prepared.
Okay.
And because my father is an only child, and don't forget, I told you, I grew up when I lived in a small town with my father, my stepmother, and my grandparents.
Okay.
So it's not even as though my father had brothers and sisters that I could say, auntie, guess what, or uncle so-and-so, guess what, or that I even had cousins.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was like Dolo. I was really for self in the street with nobody, and my father worked. And so the only person who came out to really fight was my grandmother. So you know what that made. So you know.
Yeah.
You know, that just made it worse. Not only was I a big crybaby and I acted white and I thought I was cute, but now I've got my grandmother coming out to fight my fights.
Yeah.
So it just was absolutely horrible. But I'll tell you one thing. This one girl, I'm not going to say her name because she and I are friends right now, but one day her bike was parked in front of our house and she was playing with my neighbor. And I wanted to play jump rope. And this is what this is how bullying also takes place. It's not even verbally. Listen to what they would do to me. They would play jump rope. They would make me go last. And just when it was my turn to jump, everybody would quit. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So here I am turning the rope. I mean, this sounds like I chuckle now, but it's like looking back. Like,
yeah,
can you imagine? You know, I'm an only child, and I want to play with friends, so I'm willing to stand there and turn the rope for everybody in the neighborhood to jump, and then when it's my turn to jump, everybody quits.
Yeah.
So when I heard the story of these poor 11-year-old kids killing themselves, I'm like, oh, my God, I can so relate. But can you imagine what that did to my psyche? Like, I'm just not good enough. Well, this one day, one of the girls who I was turning the rope for, her bike was in front of the house, a brand new bike, and I was so frustrated because she was the one who made everybody quit.
Mm-hmm.
I walked over to her bike and kicked her bike to the ground. Just, like, with my foot, I cocked my leg back and, cause, you know, I was going for broke.
Yeah.
And she came over. And we fought, and we fought, and I beat her tail.
Okay?
don't put it that way. Because at that point, I took all of my frustration out on her.
Right.
She ran up the street. Her mother came down, told my grandmother, your granddaughter beat up my daughter, and da-da-da-da-da, because don't forget, I'm this only child, quirky, no brothers or sisters to scrap for me. And my grandmother said, your daughter has been picking on my granddaughter for years. This is where it stops. Now, the good part of that is I was never picked on after that, ever again.
Okay.
Nobody
okay.
picked on me, but then nobody would play with me either.
Okay.
So it's like I still couldn't win, and that's when I just said, you know what, I'm going to live with my mother because I just cannot take this anymore. But at what point do adults realize that bullying has transcended past simple taunting and teasing to the point where this is a problem. Like, a kid might kill himself. I don't know.
Right. But us parents too, but when they go into this, like when they go into school, they need some type of outlet. That's why I was thinking, wait a minute. I remember when I was a kid, they had these hotlines, they had these safe houses for children to call when bullies were bullying them or if they had a problem.
Yeah, I'm actually going to look again, but I looked today, and you know something, there's so many other lines that, you know, where kids can call for pregnancy prevention and this and that, but if they're not being piped through the school system, then kids are not even going to know that these lines are there or available to help them. I mean, it's really, really a really tough and hairy situation. And the thing that is, for guys at least, is that the minute they're called gay, it's like they're now labeled. They're labeled. Let me swing you back into the conversation. Deja, I'm going to keep your line open in case you hear something that you would like to add. Kenyatta, your line is open. Did you want to add something else?
I don't like the the gay thing, I don't know. Me, I'm confused, like, in this day and age where everything is so open, why, like even if you're picking with the guy that is that way, why is such a problem if, you know, it's brought out that way? Like, you know, you could see it, whatever, like that. You know, in the hip-hop age, like, everybody's doing their things. Like, it's there. You know, they got schools for that now and everything like that. So it's not a taboo issue no more where I feel like it bothers kids. I don't see the
You know,
problem.
that's a great point, actually. You're saying that since it's so acceptable to be gay, then why is that word filled with so much hate?
I don't know. I mean, like, I understand the young guys. I'm down the court, you know, the young guys and stuff. Like you said, that's gay. So you're going to have your macho kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then even if the young men that are like that come through, it's not a bother to, like, oh, I'm not talking to him or whatever like that. I never had a problem with somebody when I was in Forsake and they was that way in particular. I was confident with myself, so that didn't bother me. And then you talk about your grandmother coming outside. I had older sisters. I got mad because my mother kept sending my older sister outside when I was a kid. So that's what, you know, one time, like, it was a nice day like today, and I came in the house crying. She was like, I can't go outside for you, so you either sitting here or whatever. And I heard all my friends playing, and then I went back outside. And like you said, that was the end of any picking on or whatever like that. So,
right.
Well, what I'm saying, like, when I was in junior high, high school, we did it as fun.
Right.
And then there is lines and stuff, but, like, because the kids are so much more aggressive about
yeah.
everything else. And wherever, like, the adults would stymie a lot of us calling names and stuff like that. Somebody, mother or aunt or father, would step in and be like, hey, watch your mouth.
Right.
That's absent, you know, as far as I see. Like, kids do what they want, say what they want and stuff. So, like, they got their own, you know, their own society, and we just house them. And once they leave out, they basically do what they want and say what they want. You know, so.
But I think. Oh, what were you going to say, Deja? I'm sorry, continue.
That's okay. No, I was saying, because he said we just house them. I think it's because if you look at it, the parents are so much younger now. You have 14-year-olds that have children. So I don't think they know how to properly raise their kids. Like, the grandmothers are going to have to step in, because that's why I think it's a lot more bullying and a lot more deaths among children, because the children are raising children. And if you're 14, at 14, I wasn't looking to raise no kid. I was still playing jump rope, actually,
mm-hmm.
at 14. And
yeah,
now 14-year-olds.
With your grandmother, like 37, 38.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like,
you getting caught in. I ain't trying to be funny, but I'm saying,
no,
when you get, like,
it's not a funny issue, but
it's not a funny issue,
right.
But you're right, exactly, because, I mean, my mother is 65, so I gave her a grandchild when I was 21, but still, that was kind of young, too. But now, if you're looking at it has to be some type of program or something for these children to just stop with the bullying, or give them some type of outlet so they can call and say, listen, I need help. My parent is not paying attention to me. This child is bullying me. Like, I don't think it's just so much of the kids raising each other that we're just being blinded to everything else, because we're like, oh, they're grown anyway. They can handle it. No, they can't. Honestly, they can't.
Right.
If they're 14, they really can't handle raising a child. They're still children. They still have hormone issues and everything else. I just don't think they know how to channel it or to raise the children properly.
I think you have a very valid point. Now, when you touch an issue like that, that transcends just bullying. That speaks to good parenting, good and
right.
poor, you know, the mm-hmm. level of parenting. My mother was 18 when she had me, and I was 18 when I had my son. So when my son graduated high school and made it, when he had his 19th birthday, I was rejoicing inside. I'm like, oh my God, thank God he at least made it past 19. And he tells me now, Mommy, all my friends are having seeds and they're having, and he said, Mommy, I'm just so not into that. And I'm like, oh, thank God, you know. And it when I look at it, you have to break the curse at some point. But
mm-hmm.
I've also come to learn just in my coaching practice that hurting people hurt people. So it
okay.
could, but as a child, I didn't see that these people are jealous of me. I just knew I had no friends, people were mean to me, and I didn't know what to do, not realizing Saida, these people are hurt, they're broken, and perhaps they're jealous. Kids don't want to hear that. They just want to play jump rope with everybody else.
Why couldn't you just been different and you was the target? Because you ain't have that backup. You ain't had it. Like, the female that's on the phone is the big sister to come down the street every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So a lot of times that be the case. You know, I had a younger brother, I had an older sister and stuff like that. And sometimes, you know, actually my brother was the bully in the neighborhood. That was
wow.
In the summertime, this is no lie, my brother walked down the street in the summertime and all the kids his age would go in the house and get in the window. You know what I'm saying? That's how bad he was, you know, with it and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes I would, you know, people would pick with him. He had real thick glasses when he was young, and the older kids would pick with him and stuff like that. So it was a catch-22. Just like
right.
I put on the chat, I got a friend named Crick Nick. She was born deformed, but if you start picking on her, she'll make you cry. That was
wow.
her defense. Like, she would come back so and rip on you so hard that she'll have everybody else laughing at you. So it's
wow.
just a sense of how you going to stand in there and take it or whatever like that. But to get to the point where the young man wanted to take his life or did take his life, there's a whole lot of other issues with that. At the
okay.
end of the day, like, nobody was noticing. Like, he's sad anyway.
Exactly.
Not just,
you
know,
right.
from these kids, from, like, somebody's not seeing that. And that was a thing, you know, even in your neighborhood where you grew up, if something was really bad back in the day, when your grandmother or your father knew the people next door, they could actually go talk to them. That's a whole other thing that's going on, too. Don't nobody know nobody to really be like, yo, your kid is causing me problems. And it's like, when you do, not my son, not my daughter. Everybody's
yes.
back, you know, so.
Well, you hit it right on the head right there. We live in a very – I just did a story on my blog that we're so connected, but nobody's connecting. Everybody is so connected through Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, MySpace, their BlackBerry, their Trio blogs, but nobody is actually connecting with other people. I
right.
have friends that I am close with around the globe, and sad to say, I moved into my new house last July. I don't even know my neighbors on either side of me. I'm embarrassed, but I'm telling you the truth. I couldn't even tell you their name, what they did, because everybody's got their defenses up. Everybody's got this defense mechanism in place. I don't want to know you. You stay on your side of the fence. I stay on my I have
and
built relationships.
If I ask you now, I bet you could tell me everybody that lived on Burgess 20 years ago.
Oh,
house
absolutely.
House and everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, you know what it is, Kenya, where we grew up in Jersey, it was a small town and everybody knew everybody else. My grandmother, who still lives in the same house that I was raised in, listen to this, peep this. She bought the house like in the 50s or something. She and my grandfather just had my father and raised my father in that house. My father raised me in that house. Now, bust this. Here's where it gets interesting. My younger son, who's 15, will now bring friends over. And my grandmother's asking his 15-year-old, well, who's your mother? Who's your grandmother? And she doesn't know any of these people. And she'll tell him, well, they can't come in my house.
Okay.
Now, I may have screened them, and I know who they are. But
mm-hmm.
there was a point in time where you knew everybody's mother, grandmother,
mm-hmm.
auntie, uncle. So you didn't mind what, and you know, so now I'm kind of not arguing because it's her house, but I'm just saying, she's like, well, I don't know all these kids coming in and out of my house. You know how older people are.
Yeah.
But she doesn't understand the dynamic that neighbors change, people move, other people move in, and we don't know the people, Kenya, that grew up on Burgess Place anymore. We just don't know.
But that. My mother used to send me outside. I was like 3.5, 4. It didn't matter because
yep.
the neighborhood was gonna. I knew not to go outside and disrespect nobody. And plus, Miss So and So wasn't gonna let me do nothing. So when it was a nice day like today, she doing whatever. Like, all right, go outside and play. And
mm-hmm.
I'm roaming the neighborhood. Then I was telling my wife, I was like, you know, I'd have sent my son. She's like, you can't do that no more because nobody's neighborly. You know.
No,
that's true.
You know, and all the. Like, when it's sad to say, but, like, everybody be happy. Like, whenever people from my old neighborhood, most of the time we see each other either at a wedding or a funeral. It's
mm-hmm.
like seeing it's going back and seeing your family. That's the only time, like, you really get to see, like, everybody spread out now. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. we walked to school together. We walked home
yep.
together. We went to the mm-hmm. party together. You know, if one
mm-hmm.
of us, you know, got in trouble, we all, you know, whatever. It's like you, so-and-so was there. We joke about, like, when we see each other, we call each other the way our mothers used to call us back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
So, then we'd be like, we used to be standing there and somebody's mother would call us, and we'd be like, don't say nothing, don't say nothing. Because the thing was like, if you acknowledge that you heard my mother, then I heard you too.
Yeah,
that's the
exactly.
first thing. That's the first thing they're going to say. I know so-and-so, but I've seen so-and-so telling you or what, or,
yep.
Whatever.
Yep.
So that was,
that's funny.
That, you know, mm-hmm. the whole family little village thing is there.
That's
so
hilarious.
Yeah.
My man Algie B was down the street. He was a little slower than us. Then they used to
uh-huh.
stick with him, and they used to always make him stop and, like, say a rap. And sometimes he didn't want to do it. Then we come through and be like, come on, man. You know, he with us. We didn't add on to his misery. Like, you are our boy. You are our family, so come on. And that, like, that's what you're saying. You the only child. Maybe this guy didn't have that type of social network. Even, it was, like I said, the guys. One time, it was a guy's getting picked on because they was, we was calling them gay or whatever like this. This one kid, and
uh-huh.
he started. I went in to stand up for him, and as soon as I stood up for him, they finally jumped him.
Oh.
Like, because they seen somebody was actually, like, on their side. So they
right.
they put him up under the Volkswagen. That's how bad they did him and stuff like that.
Wow.
Because,
wow.
But that was the thing, like, yo, leave them alone, man. They not bothering you, you know, and stuff like that. So, you know, we all grown, and we went through that. And like I said, somewhere along the line, the young man, somebody didn't notice, like, he was unhappy about something else. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, so.
It's a sad situation. It's a real sad situation. And when you look at it, I just want to get into a little bit really quickly about the story about the little man in Georgia. I talked about the other guy in Massachusetts. Let me just drop this on you. The mother said that he was kind of, the little boy's name is Jaheim Herrera, and he was 11 also. This just happened on April 16th, which was not even a week ago.
Yeah.
And the other little kid was April 6th. That's why I said I had to do a show about that. Two 11-year-old kids kill themselves within 10 days of each other? Come on. And six others in February? Uh-uh. But anyway, the mother said her son was constantly bullied at school. She said she complained to the school, and that her 10-year-old daughter who actually told her, this is the pressure that he's going through at school. As in my situation, I didn't have an older sibling to, you know, to kind of come to my defense. I just didn't have it. But the mother did. And so now she, on the day of the event, as news reports are saying, the little boy came home, gave the report card, she sent him to his room, called him for dinner, he didn't come down, she went in his room, looked in the closet, he was hanging there on his belt. I mean, and her daughter is the one who found him and then called the mother. I'm sorry. The daughter, she said, go upstairs and get your brother. The sister went up and was like, Mom, and it, like, how can you even function in that house anymore knowing you have to tear your child's lifeless body, cut him down from the bar in his closet? What was in this little boy's mind for him to take his life and say, you know what, I'm checking out?
There was other things going on, though, just like the other call, the other gentleman was saying. He was probably saddened, too, and just the bullying heightened whatever else was going on. It has to be some other issues that's underlying. I mean, because they bully kids. I mean, even when we were kids, they bully kids, and I don't remember back then children taking their lives like that. It's other issues going on. It has to be other issues going on, because I remember we had a gay little, well, we didn't call him gay back then, but Danny used to jump rope with all the little girls, double dutch, all the time.
Right.
And then you said, oh, he's fine. You always had one little boy that always jumped
yep.
rope with you. And that was Danny. And Danny didn't care. And Danny kept
yep.
on and jumped. But he didn't kill himself. So it has to be other underlying issues that us as parents have
point.
To stop. We have to
stop
what's
point.
Going on.
That's part of the
like,
young people's social, that's part of the social life of young people, like, I'm gonna outshine you one way or another, and if Sai's saying like, you know, I might have had a better grade of hair or whatever, or I talk a little bit different. You're different, so you're not so called like you in the hood. You're not that, you know, kind of like them. So we gonna make you stand out this way. We gonna make fun of you, and if you can't handle that, then it's your fault, you know.
Right.
And if you don't have your clique, No, I had friends. So you don't have your clique or somebody be like, oh, you know, size my girl, don't be talking about it like that or whatever. Then you standing on an island. So you either,
right.
you either got to stick your chest out and be like this or whatever, or you say, all right, I'm going to pack up, I'm going to go to New York because I can't deal with it right now. You know what I mean? And that was a different, like I said, my sister, like I get upset, like today, like when people be talking about, you know, my sister went around the corner and this and that. That's embarrassing to me now. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, but I was telling my wife at the same time, like I was a little big crybaby and everything. And then
right.
I had to go through that process. And then even like my sister, like, I'm tired of this, whatever. You better go, whatever. So at one point, you know, you had that support system. That's what now, you know, like maybe the young man didn't.
Right.
That's the whole problem. Like, you know, like, you something to skip over, like, even if his dad was, you know, all that stuff, somebody sitting there talking. I had older dudes in the neighborhood talking to me a lot of times, you know. Even I didn't grow up with my father, so I had the older men saying things to me, and I had older sisters. I want to get information, and a lot of times, like you were saying, you had nobody to go to, you know, to find out certain things about, like, how do I deal with this? And that's the problem with that.
It's really a sad situation because I think I got this email one time and it said when we were younger, like for those that were born in the 70s, we drank from other people's like Kool-Aid cups. We licked other people's ice cream. We rode bicycles without a helmet. We skateboarded in the middle of the street. Like, it gave this whole laundry list of things. You know, we dropped candy on the ground and said, you know, kiss it up to God or something, and nobody got any virus. Like, it was such a simpler time back then. We just didn't have, like, all of the pressures. And I think a lot of it comes from all the interactivity on the coming from the media and a host of other outside stimuli that are getting these young people to the point where I just don't want to be here anymore. And as a person who has overcome suicidal thoughts on more than one occasion, you get to the point where you're just so overwhelmed. You're like, you know what? There's got to be someplace better than here. Have either of you heard about the guy who, like, talked about his suicide on Facebook a couple of months ago?
Yes. But
can you believe it?
I don't think they really realized how serious. You see, that's another thing. We don't know what it's – like I said, back in the 70s, there used to be signs and different things like that of suicide tendencies or issues or whatever. And I think as a society, we don't pay attention to that anymore. Like, that's
why
not
I don't pay attention. How you going to pay attention? Like, you and me talking and side talking. I ain't never seen you, but now I'm connecting with somebody all the way across the country. Everybody
exactly.
talking to each other behind a monitor. Behind, you know, they looking in their phone, they text us and whatever. So that's what I pick with the young boy downstairs from me. I'm like, man, I had to talk to the girl. I had to get her phone number and go home and call her. Like, you can be anywhere on the planet and still stay in touch with this person. It was a thing where you had to touch people. And that's what you're talking about, Si. Like, everything you did, you had to touch that person, and then you had to get to know that person and be part of their life. It's not like I'm on the computer, I'm using my screen name, and you don't have no idea unless I put a picture up who I am, and then I could do anything I want with the picture. So that's part of the thing with the young people is, like, they are absent of that certain emotion of feeling that person's feelings. Like, you got to – if I know you and I see you and I hug you and embrace you, I can feel you, but that's not going on these days.
No, it's not. Let me give you a website that does have information. You can go to stopschoolbullying.info. stopschoolbullying.info, and it has a wealth of information that can help parents and teachers and others connect to really stop school bullying. This was such an impromptu show because both of you, you know, I know on a personal level, and this was so cool to have you call in and just kind of co-host the show with me because clearly this is a special issue that's near and dear to all of our hearts. So I just commend you, and I'm grateful and appreciative, and I always say that to anybody that listens to my show every day. Truly I am. But for you two particularly to call in and actually add to the show, it has added value to the show. It has added information. And I'm just letting the two of you know that this show is going to keep replaying under the under the link of bullying on the blog and on my website, because I think it's so incredibly important. So thank you very, very much for calling in. I appreciate both of you.
Thank you, because they had on History Channel last week on the anniversary of Columbine, and it's like them little things like you talking about now that never get out, because it's always like,
you're right.
If these two would have flipped out and did what they did, then they just would have been some inner city kid with a gun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not that they had a problem. It would just been that they was with a gun, and that's what always happened around our way. So thank you for putting it out there.
Thank you for putting it out there. A quick question before I have to hang up. I wanted to know, sometimes the school doesn't take the, like, at what age do they really take the bullying seriously where the police would be called?
I think around 9 or 10, right? From the reports that I was reading, I think it's like 9 or 10. I think it's like 5th grade.
Okay, because I know
think
some,
it's 5th grade.
Cause some schools, you know, elementary, really, they don't look at it like that. Like, they
don't.
They're just kids. Like, oh, well, I'm not going to call the police, so I'm not going to do this. It's just kids. You know what I mean? Like, they don't look at it as serious as it should be taken until something happens.
Well, you know something, I'll share with you something very quickly that happened to my older son. He was in this small private school, and he was in 3rd grade. This little boy kept teasing him, and I kept talking to my son, oh, he's just being a tease, and I said, you know what, I'm finally going to go to school and let the school administrators know that you're getting teased. And you know what my son told me? Oh, it doesn't matter, because his father's a lawyer, and he can talk him out of any kind of trouble. Now, mind you, this is my kid who's 8 years old at the time.
Wow.
So I went and told the school, you know, okay, we'll talk to his father. A few days later, I got called to the school that I had to come to the school immediately. My son was being suspended. If I didn't come, they were going to call the Division of Youth and Family Services. My son picked up a cinder block. Like, you know how you have a cement building?
Yes.
And it was literally on the desk. He chased the little boy around the playground. They were getting ready to file charges against my son, and they put the cinder block on the desk. I could barely lift it up as an adult. And I said to the principal of the school, I said, you know something? I have been telling you that this little boy has been teasing my son. For my son at 8 years old to be able to pick up this piece of the corner of the building, his adrenaline had to be going. It had to be so on fire. I couldn't even pick it up. I was shocked. I told my husband, I don't even know how he was able to lift it. But this is what it can lead to. But yet, when my son got to the point of no return where he picked up a cinder block and was ready to bash this kid's head into the playground, now they're calling me. Now they're telling me they're going to call the Division of Youth and Family Services. Now my son is being unruly, yada-da-da-da-da-da. But yet, when he's been teasing my son, y'all haven't said anything. Nothing was done. So this problem, and they were in 3rd grade at the time, so that's the basis on which I offered that information when I was saying, like, around 5th grade. This happened to my son a little younger in 3rd grade. I spoke to my son, and he will still talk about it. He said, I tried to hurt him. And makes no bones about it.
Uh-huh.
I really tried to hurt him.
Wow.
Yeah, he said, I really tried to hurt him. But anyway, this will not be the last conversation that we have on Life Remixed Radio about this issue. Thank you so much, Deja and Kenyatt. And Kenyatt, I'm going to upload this show to the Roundup also so people can listen to it.
All right, thanks.
All right. Bye, Deja. Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Please remember that we shall pass through this world but once. Any good, therefore, that we can do or any kindness that we can show to any human being, let us do it now. Let us not defer or neglect it, for we shall not pass this way again. Thank you so much for listening. It's your girl, Cy Brown, right here for LifeRemixRadio.com. For life coaching services, please log on to www.impact-coaching.info, and you can always check out my blog, CyBrown.com. Thanks so much, and have a great day.